Bible, 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 11, and we will observe the Lord's table now, and thank you so much. I want to say a big thank you to Gene and Barbara Anderson for their faithful service of putting the elements on the table here, and for many, many years, Jack and Dorothy Lewis did that, and then Jack went to heaven, of course, and they picked it up, and Gene and Barbara, thank you for coming early and staying late and making sure that this is all ready to go for us. That's an unseen service, amen, and I appreciate their efforts. Let's stand together, please, once you find 1 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 23, where the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're so grateful, thankful for this ordinance. Thank you for giving it to the church. And I pray, God, that you'll please help us tonight as we enter into this time of remembering what our Savior did for us through His body and His blood. And I pray, oh God, that it will not just stay in this service time, but it will go with us, stay before us, and may it help us live for you from day to day. Bless the time we spend around the table tonight. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name for His sake, and amen. Thank you, and be seated. Fanny Crosby is credited with authoring over 8,000 gospel songs. Now, you think about that, friend. That is a lot of music. And, of course, blinded, they say, at 6 weeks of age, and she became probably the most prolific of all gospel song writers, hymn writers. And if you pay attention to the words of many of her hymns, you would never have guessed that she was blind, because she was very, her verbiage just made it sound like she had clear sight. And I think that's just the gift that God gave her as a songwriter. Some of the songs that she wrote both the music and the words to the particular song. And others, she wrote just the words for a particular tune that somebody else put together. One of the other hymn writers that she often worked with was a man by the name of William H. Doane. He was born in Preston, Connecticut. He was the composer with whom Fanny Crosby most often collaborated with hymn writing on. Now, Doane wrote a tune and then brought the tune to Fanny Crosby, who, when she heard the melody, she said, "I feel it says this, Jesus, keep me near the cross." And so we have the song in our hymn book entitled "Near the Cross." Now, the song first appeared in a book of songs called "Bright Jewels for the Sunday School," published in 1869. It was a book compiled by another gospel hymn writer by the name of William Bradbury. And this is what Fanny Crosby wrote to the tune that that Doane brought to her. "Jesus, keep me near the cross there, precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain." Now listen to these words. "Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me." Now listen, I know Fanny Crosby put these words to music. I know this is not inspired, but I believe with all of my heart that Jesus wanted us to stay near the cross. I believe with all my heart that Jesus wanted the scenes of the cross to be ever before us. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus wanted us to walk day to day overshadowed by the scenes of the cross. I believe that with all of my heart. And the reason I believe that is because He gave us the Lord's Supper. The truth of the matter is that Crosby summed up the essence of the Lord's Supper in the words to that song, "Near the Cross." The Lord Jesus gave us this ordinance so that we might remember His body and His blood. Look with me at verse 24. Look what Paul wrote here when he said, "Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" So when you pass the bread at the table of the Lord, it's to be done in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ giving His body, His broken body. Look at verse 25. "After the same manner also He took the cup, and this is what He said, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So the Lord Jesus gave us this ordinance so that we might remember His body and His blood. Now, church, think with me tonight. Specifically, He wanted us to remember His body at the cross because He said, "This is my body which is broken for you." Where was that body broken? It was broken at Calvary. All right? It was not His body standing and breaking bread and fish and multiplying it so that 15,000 people could eat. That was not the body that He wanted us to remember. It was not His body traveling by foot through the land of Israel, teaching and preaching and healing that He wanted us to remember. It was not the body standing on the ship, calming the winds and the waves with the words of His voice that He wanted us to remember. It was His body mangled, torn, whipped, beaten, stripped, wounded, and smothered with blood that the Lord Jesus never wanted us to forget. That's the body. That's the body that He wanted us to remember. The body that was given for us. The body that was broken for us. Church, see that body. That's what Jesus wanted us to see through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and not forget it. I think that's one of the reasons why Crosby wrote the words, "Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me." You and I can't travel back in time to stand at the cross and see the scenes of it. But tonight we have a little bit of a picture in the bread that was broken. Jesus broke it and gave it to the disciples. And He said, "This is a picture of my body which is given for you, broken for you. Don't forget my body broken for you. Help me live, help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me." And then he wanted us to remember the bloodshed at the cross, because it was the basis of the new covenant. The old covenant was established on the blood of goats and bulls and sheep and lambs. The old covenant was temporary. That old covenant was reestablished, had to be reestablished every year, because the blood of the old covenant could only cover sin. Jesus said, "I want you to remember my blood." My blood is the basis of the new covenant. The new covenant is a permanent covenant. It is a forever covenant. It is a once and for all covenant. The blood of the new covenant doesn't just cover sin, it takes it away. Big difference. Big difference. Big difference. That's why Jesus, why Fanny Crosby wrote the words, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain." Remember the body, broken and mangled, the broken and mangled for you. Remember the blood, the basis of the new covenant, which is shed for you. Jesus said, "My body, my blood for you." And that is the single picture that Jesus wanted us to remember from all of His life. There is no other picture given for us to remember Him in a certain way. The only picture He ever gave us of His life was the picture that is wrapped up in this bread and in this juice, that we will pass tonight. It's Jesus wanted us to live under the shadows of this picture. Jesus wanted the scenes that this picture portrays to stay before us. And truth of the matter is, friend, that if the scenes of the cross and the shadows of the cross, if those scenes stay before us and those shadows hover o'er us, it will impact how we live in this sin-sick world. And that is the purpose of this picture. The scene of this picture before us and the shadows of this picture o'er us should have an impact on how we conduct ourselves. We are reminded of Christ's sacrifice for our sin in the picture of the bread and the juice tonight. The scene and the shadow of the cross was never to leave us. The Bible says it was to stay with us. Verse 26 says, "Till He come." As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. What's He saying? He's saying, don't forget those scenes. Don't forget those shadows until I come. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when He comes, we won't need a picture. We will be with Him in person. Amen. This is not the only place in 1 Corinthians 11 where the connection of the Lord's Supper is made. The connection is made between the Lord's Supper and Christ coming. In Matthew 26:29, Jesus said, "I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, if you were to ask me to explain that fully, wrap my mind around that fully, I can't do that. But I believe on the basis of what Jesus said in that verse, that in the millennial kingdom, somehow, some way, we will sit down with the Lord Jesus and we will drink of that juice and we will eat of the bread that He will serve us. The same thing is repeated in Mark chapter 14 and verse 25. The same thing is repeated in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 18. Four times. It's recorded that Jesus said, "This picture should remind you of my body and my blood till I come." Till I come. Now, folks, let's just admit it tonight. We are forgetful people. You know, let's be honest. It takes a Veterans Day. It takes a Veterans Day to put the sacrifice and the service of the men and women of this country in front of us for us to think about it and remember it. It takes a Veterans Day, where on Sunday morning we have all the men and women that served our country come and stand across the front down here. And you know, you've been here, how that it's moving for us to have those people come and stand down here and give the number of years they served and the branch of the service they served in, and to see the embodiment of personal sacrifice that ensured our physical freedom. It takes, how many of us would think about that without a Veterans Day? Oh, you might remember if you pass by a military cemetery. You might think about it if you see a flag flying on a grave somewhere. But because there's a Veterans Day, because there is, we can see the embodiment of sacrifice in front of us. Our hearts, you know, on a normal Veterans time, when we recognize veterans here, without any prompting whatsoever, the congregation stands and gives a standing ovation to these people. But that doesn't happen without a scene before us. Are you with me? The shadows of their sacrifice are before us as they stand here across the front. And we hear the years of those that served and the branch of service they were in. Some in combat, some in peacetime. And the congregation is moved as a whole. And we applaud, and the applause lasts forever, and there's no prompting to it. That's what this is supposed to do in the realm of our salvation. The Lord's Supper is supposed to be the embodiment, if you will, of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us on the cross of Calvary. We're not to forget His blood. We're not to forget His body. His body, His blood, for us, so that we can be saved. Blood, not the basis of the old covenant, but blood that's the basis of the new covenant. The body that was stripped and wounded and mangled and torn and sacrificed on the cross, that bore in it our own sins upon that, we're not to forget. And that's the reason for this. This is not a time to come and think about tomorrow's challenges and yesterday's failures and the worries of the coming week. This is, if you will, let me say it this way, this is the spiritual Veterans Day of Christianity. We don't have a body to stand up here in front of us tonight, but we have a picture of His body to pass around and hold in our hands and think about the fact that it was His body that was sacrificed for us. It was His blood that was shed for us. And you want to talk about freedom? Oh, thank God for physical freedom. And we're moved by the veterans when they stand up here, because we're a free country today, in large part because of the sacrifice that's been made for us by our military personnel. But brother, the freedom, that freedom that we celebrate on Veterans Day, can't touch the hem of the garment of the freedom represented by this ordinance here tonight. We're free from sin. Free from sin's penalty. Thank God we'll never have to worry about hell. Never have to worry about it. Not only are we free from sin's penalty, we're free from sin's power. Now, it's still alive in our bodies, like we preached a couple of Sundays ago. But it is wounded, it's been stalked, it's been hurt, and through the power of salvation, you and I, as Apostle Paul commanded them in the book of Romans, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Sin does not have to sit on the throne of our lives because of what this pictures tonight. The sacrifice of the cross of Christ on Calvary. And then someday, thank God, what this represents, salvation has freed us from the not only sin's penalty and sin's power, but sin's presence. It will be gone to another world, leaving behind all that is sinful and wicked. That old body of sin will be left behind. A new body will be taken. What a glorious day that will be, friend. This is the embodiment of our spiritual freedom. It is to remind... I'm not saying, like the Catholics, that we believe that this literally becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It is symbolic. It is a picture of the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary. As wonderful as it is, what this ordinance does is only remind us of that salvation. If you are counting on participating in this for your salvation, you will come short. Because that piece of bread and that little cup of juice cannot save you. It will not save you. It is not the ordinance that saves you. It's what the ordinance pictures that saves you. And that is the crucified Savior, His body and His blood given and sacrificed for our sins. So Fanny Crosby hit the nail on the head about the essence of the Lord's Supper when she wrote the words, "Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me, help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me." As children of God, we are never to forget that body and the blood of Christ that was that pictures that was the price that was paid for our salvation. And I'm glad, I am thankful that the Lord Jesus initiated this institution so that we could have these moments 4 times a year as a church to think about nothing but His body and His blood, which purchased our salvation, our spiritual freedom. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Thank you for listening to this very short message. Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for the body that was broken for us. We thank you for the blood that was shed for us. We are thankful, God, that we have the opportunity tonight as people of God to sit for a few minutes and have our minds brought before our minds the scenes of the cross. What this bread pictures, the body at the cross. What this juice pictures, the blood at the cross. And may the scenes of that cross foreshadow us in the coming weeks until the next time that we meet around this table. And may those scenes and those shadows be renewed in April when we observe this ordinance again. Father, tonight may the reality of the sacrifice of your Son fall fresh and anew upon our hearts and our minds. And as she wrote in the song, help us live from day to day with its shadows o'er us. Oh God, may we cleanse our hearts tonight. May we come into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. May we worship you, Lord, from a sincere heart of thanksgiving for the salvation that you've given through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. We lift him up tonight and exalt him and thank you for this picture of our wonderful Savior. And may it also remind us, oh God, of what's to come. And we look forward to that day when we will see him in person. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not sure that you're saved, and I mean saved by trusting in, by faith, through grace, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, if you're not sure you're saved, please do not partake of this supper tonight thinking that it will save you. It is only a picture. It is the person in whom you must trust for salvation. And if God's been tugging on your heart and working on you and trying to draw you to Christ, maybe tonight ought to be the night for you to surrender and come to Jesus and be saved. And if you're a child of God, would you please let the next several minutes and the essence of this ordinance saturate your mind and heart as the scenes of the cross are brought before us. And may the shadows of this ordinance foreshadow us in the days ahead as we seek to live for Him. May God make it so tonight. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. If you need to be saved, the altar is open. If you want to come and pray just a moment, you're free to do that. Obey the Lord tonight.